And Dick Van Dyke is joining us now on the Ideas Network. His memoir is My Lucky Life in and Out of Show Business. Dick Van Dyke, a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. I was so struck, Dick, by how hard you worked for absolutely no money and how hard it was to do those shows early on.
Didn't we all work for no money?
Yeah, some of us still do. But you had a whole hour sometimes if you were lucky to get the gig, and you had to fill it with everything you had in you, comedy and news and everything.
That's exactly right. It was great training. It's back in the days of live television, you know, where mistakes were, you just had to cover them up. But it was great experience back then.
Yeah, it sure was. You knew you were really good at drama, and you were a talented guy when you were in high school. You sort of knew you wanted to be an entertainer fairly early on, didn't you?
Well, I knew I loved it, but at that time of my life and in those days, it was so far away. I never really dreamed that I could get into show business. But just one thing led to another, as I say, with luck. I was in the right place at the right time.
Yeah. You also have, as I listen to you right now, you have a very distinctive, friendly, lovely, wonderful voice.
Oh, and I think adenoids is part of it.
But I think people must have heard that, because anybody listening to you would know it's Dick Van Dyke. There's Dick Van Dyke.
That's right. You know, that people do recognize my voice, even if they don't recognize me.
I know. And you started as a radio announcer, didn't you?
You what?
A radio announcer. You started as a radio announcer.
In high school, yeah. It was during the war, and everybody got drafted. So I grabbed that job and got a lot of good experience.
And you continued to do, I was interested in your early days at CBS when you were working with people like Walter Cronkite, Dave Garraway, I believe, was somebody you ran into. You were a guy doing a whole bunch of different things, comedy and news and all of this.
Yes. I started out on the morning show doing a five-minute children's story.
Oh, my.
I would draw a cartoon of the story and tell it. And eventually, they made me the anchor there. And I was just off the truck. I was 29. I didn't know what I was doing. And Walter was my newscaster, if you can believe that.
What was it like to work? He's one of my heroes too, Walter Cronkite.
Oh,
I love the guy.
The most wonderful. He should have been president. He was the nicest man I think I ever met. And he sent me just before he died. He found a photograph of the two of us standing on the news set. And he signed it and said, "How did you ever make it without me?"
Oh,
that's sweet.
Oh, he could have been president. You're right.
God, I just love that man.
Yeah, I was interested in some of your political involvement too in this book. People don't tend to think of you in those terms, but you cared about some issues, particularly civil rights issues.
Early on, there was a Proposition 14, which was a law that said you couldn't discriminate in selling a home. You know, based on anything, ethnicity or religion or race or anything. And so I really got on to that, and I think it got defeated back then at that time. But it was just like, just the civil rights movement was just kind of getting underway. Yeah, I politically kind of leaned that way, although who was this that said, I'm not with any organized political party, I'm a Democrat.
Right. Your father at one point, and this was, what was it? Was it after Mary Poppins, or was it when your television show became so successful, you had a call from your father, and I'm wondering if you shared this worry about yourself. He said, "Honestly, son, we have worried about you. We didn't think you'd amount to anything."
That was after the Dick Van Dyke.
It was after the show.
Well, my dad was a kind of left-brain guy, very linear and businesslike. And I was right-brained and just a dreamer, you know. And he just, neither one of us thought I could ever do anything for a living.
And there you were, a star.
Oh, God, it was just, I look back and I can't believe any of it.
Yeah. And there were a couple people. We're lucky if we have a couple people who really realize what our talents are.
You're
and
right.
If you would please tell us about Gower Champion, Bye Bye Birdie, and Carl Reiner.
Well, I was doing a game show called Mother's Day, and it was the worst thing in the world, and I wasn't cut out for a game show host. So after the show, I'd go out and audition for for anything in the theater, and I got the part in Bye Bye Birdie by doing a little bit of a song and a soft shoe. And Gower Champion, right on the spot, said, "You've got the role." And I said, "Mr. Champion, I can't dance." And he said, we'll teach you what you need to know." So for the next 6 weeks, I learned to dance. And thought, where in the world has this been all my life? And I was in that show for a year and got a Tony, finally.
And became very
much fun.
And it became very good friends with Cheetah Rivera.
Oh, God,
wonderful
yes.
talent.
One of the greatest ever to walk on the stage.
Mm-hmm. And you, isn't it interesting that you didn't know you had this talent, and yet you are just such a great dancer?
Well, I didn't. I had no idea I could
right.
dance. I knew I'd always been kind of agile, but I hadn't ever tried dancing. And, oh, I loved it.
What kind of, I know that you had a lot of dancing in Mary Poppins.
Yes.
And some of the rehearsal for that was really strenuous.
Yes, the chimney top dance, that they had built those rooftops of plywood out on the back lot at Disney, and it was about 98 degrees, and we
Ugh.
Spent weeks out there rehearsing. I think I lost about 10 pounds. But, oh, my God, was it worth it. Hard work, but such fun.
Yeah, such fun. We have a number of people who would like to speak with you. Dick Van Dyke is our guest, and let's go to Mike, who wants to talk about your dancing, I think, from Cedarburg. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Dick. How are you?
I'm in good shape, thanks.
That sounds great. Well, you answered part of my question. I was wondering if you actually were a dancer prior to getting into show business, but it sounds like 6 weeks really did a job on you. Another thing I was going to ask is you've been a very physical comedian.
Yeah.
Were you a physical comedian prior to learning how to dance?
Yes, that was one thing I did do. I was a big fan of Laurel and Hardy and Buster Keaton and all those old comedians. And as a kid, I used to practice my pratfalls. And so I was pretty good at that. And then when we did the Van Dyke show, Carl knew that I loved to do that stuff, so he made Rob Petrie a klutz so that I could fall down a lot.
Oh, well, that's fantastic. Well, I'm thoroughly impressed with every one of your talents, and I watch you all the time, and thank you so much for taking my question.
Well, you bet, Mike. Nice to talk to you.
It was. I love your description of the Dick Van Dyke Show and Reiner really being able to allow each of you to be pretty much who you were in real life when
That's
you were
exactly
on the set,
right.
which is very interesting, and to be able to take some of your real life experiences and make a drama from them.
Yes. He was a great student of psychology and had a marvelous ear, you know, for the way we all talked
right.
and acted. And it just came down to not having to act at all. It was just like going to a party every day.
Mm-hmm. Going back to Mary Poppins for just a moment, you actually paid Walt Disney to get two roles in that film. That's a great story.
Yeah, I wanted to do that old man, the banker, which a lot of people still don't know is me. And he made a deal with me. I could do the part if I donated to his, he had a Cal Arts school out here, an art school. And I had to make a donation to that.
So you could play the second role.
It was worth every dollar, boy.
Yeah, that's great. Dave is next from Wanakee. Hi, Dave.
What? I'm doing fine, and fortunately, Mr. Van Dyke, you've entered the radio contest.
What's that?
You can be the winner of the jackpot. If you can guess the response to today's clue,
That is a rooster. That's all I know.
No, I'm sorry. You do not win the contest, but I will tell you the answer is what? Napoleon Bonaparte.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either, Dave.
Well, the Battle of Waterloo was fought early in the morning.
Oh, my God. Well, that's pretty far out.
All right.
He really stretched that one, boy.
Yeah. Randy in Madison. Hi, Randy.
Hi. It's a pleasure, Mr. V, and I'll try to bring this back to earth. question. I hope that you will serenade us by singing the Dick Van Dyke song before the... before the show is over, like you did on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Oh, yeah. Well, you want to hear it?
You want to sing it, Dick? You don't have to, but...
It's early morning. I'm a little hoarse yet. I haven't cleared my voice. I'll try it, though.
Okay.
So you think that you've got trouble? Well, trouble's a bubble. So tell old Mr. Trouble to get lost. Why not hold your head up high and stop crying? Start trying. And don't forget to keep your fingers crossed. When you find the joy of living is loving and giving, you'll be there when the winning dice are tossed. A smile is just a frown that's turned upside down. So smile and that frown will defrost. And don't forget to keep your fingers crossed. Ba-doom-doom.
Hey, thank you.
Roy Amsterdam wrote those.
Did he really? Oh, thank you so much. There you go, Randy.
All right. And may I ask a question now?
Of course.
All right. Thank you, by the way. I appreciate that. I guess I grew up, you know, you were a very familiar face when I was growing up in the 60s.
Yeah.
It was in the early 70s at a station at Camp Pendleton. They showed us five new movies a week, so they had to see, you know, just about everything. And that's probably the only reason I saw the comic, you know, in the theatrical release. And that became the Dick Van Dyke movie for me.
You know, you're one of the few people who saw that, and it's one of my favorite movies.
Really? Why is it one of your favorites, Dick?
Well, you know, we did. It was all about silent film days and the story of that era. It was a combination of Stan Laurel and Buster Keaton and all those guys. And I thought it had an authenticity about it that we really got a hold of it. And so few people have seen that movie. I highly recommend it.
And may I ask, sir, also, by the way, a year later, you made a very different kind of movie, Cold Turkey, but you made it with Bob and Ray and Bob Newhart.
Oh, God, yeah, Bob Newhart, Tom
and Norman Lear.
It was a lot of fun to make. It was when everybody was trying to quit smoking.
Right. Everybody used to smoke in those days, didn't they?
I know.
Yeah. And you were told at one point, you got to quit.
Oh, I sure was. A doctor from an East Indian doctor said, Mr. Van Dyke, you have some sputs on your lung. And it scared me to death, and I quit right then.
Mm. And Mary Tyler Moore. You write in the book about Mary quitting and being a real crab, if you can imagine Mary being a crab at all. But she was a little anxious.
Oh, God. The kid was pale as a sheet, and her eyes were sunken in, and she was a nervous wreck. She was having withdrawals.
Hmm.
And I said, Mary, for God's sake, please go smoke a cigarette.
How is she doing? I know she had surgery. Have you heard reports? Is she going to be okay?
Well, from that, yes, it was a benign lesion.
Good.
They had been watching that they figured she'd had all her life, and they successfully removed it. Mary's problem is the progression of the diabetes.
Yes.
It's just, they surprised me with their presence on the Rachel Ray show, and she looks so thin and everything. I just worry about her.
Yeah. She, and people didn't realize, maybe Carl Reiner, or who was it who realized that she was going to be the comic actress that she turned out to be? Who took a chance on her?
Carl Reiner.
It was Carl.
Because, you know, I said she's beautiful and all that, but can she be funny?
Mm-hmm.
And so Carl Reiner obviously saw the possibility because she just turned out to be the best.
Yeah. And the two of you loved working together. It sounded like that was just a dream cast.
Oh, God, it was. We got to where we could read each other's minds. And I had an awful crush on her, too.
And people did think that, people are weird, aren't they? They did think you were married.
That's right, which is a kind of a compliment.
Yeah, it is a compliment. Let's talk about your marriage for a while. That was hard. Your wife really... And I can see her point here. She put up with a lot the first few years.
Oh, it was just awful, yeah.
Yeah, no money, no cars, no nothing. And
oh, yeah.
She wasn't a big fan of Hollywood.
Well, a lot of spouses aren't, because they just get treated so badly and ignored. Yeah, she went through all those really tough days with me.
And you have four children.
Yep. And they all turned out great. Now I have 7 grandchildren and 4 great-grandchildren.
You have great-grandchildren
now? I'm a great-grandpa.
Oh my goodness! I'll bet you're a great. I bet you're a great great grandpa, aren't you?
They call me crazy grandpa.
And what about in this movie too? You're lucky that you've got you were involved in work that will last forever. That must make you feel good. Mary Poppins. People are going to watch Mary Poppins forever, don't you think, Dick?
Oh, it seems like it. I love it when I get stopped by little kids who recognize me. That just thrills me.
Oh, that was a rough show to do. Tell me about how difficult it was with the technology of that program. You were flying, and it was cartoon things going on while you were acting, but the technology wasn't as advanced. Can you talk about that?
No, there was no computer-generated stuff at all. We used a green screen and performed in front of that, and then they put the animation in later. And I've often thought, if Walt Disney were alive today with all the computer toys there are, what he would do with it.
Oh, my.
He was just a big kid. He would have been in heaven.
Yeah. How did you get that part?
I thought, because I was a singer and dancer, but Walt had read a quote from some interview I did about the lack of family entertainment. And that's what got him interested in me. And I thought it was because of my talent.
Well, you couldn't have done the film if you weren't talented.
Well, yeah, I had to deliver once I got there.
Don't you think when you look at yourself in that film that you were absolutely perfect for the role? You made me so happy to watch that. It was just an extraordinarily lovely performance.
Oh, thank you. Well, I was having the time of my life. I just loved every minute of it.
It wasn't really, really hard work? It was just fun for you?
Extremely hard. But I couldn't wait to get into work every day. Julie and I both knew something good was happening. And we just couldn't wait to get at it.
Yeah. And she was such a talent in that film. And you recognized that she was going to be easy to work with.
Oh, yeah. She was just such a lady and a pleasure. And we always, she didn't get the part in My Fair Lady in the movie. And everybody in the business was shocked at that.
Dick Van Dyke is our guest, and we're welcoming phone calls for him. He has a memoir that has just been released. It is My Lucky Life in and Out of Show Business. I want to ask him about his... He mentioned Laurel and Hardy. He did deliver the eulogy at Stan Laurel's funeral and has also met Buster Keaton, has this lovely little vignette in the book of that, and also going to Frank Sinatra's house where Frank did the cooking. So we'll ask him to tell us those stories. And feel free to call in with your questions. Our number or comments, 800-486-8655. Our web address is talk@WPR.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. An email for you, Dick. Thanks for all the decades of joy you've brought to my family. This is from Hans. My wife and I were born after your show ended its run, and we've only ever caught glimpses of your work throughout the years. But because of my 5-year-old daughter, we have developed quite an appreciation for your work, primarily as Bert in Disney's Mary Poppins. We refer to you as Bert whenever we come across stories, but we will be sure to share more of your shows and movies as she ages. So you're not Dick Van Dyke to them, you're Bert.
That's great. I love it.
It is great, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, that's great. Jean in East Troy. Hi, Jean.
Good morning.
Hi.
And good morning, Dick.
Good morning.
I have enjoyed all of your productions. Mary Poppins, definitely. But one that strikes my mind is Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Oh, yeah. I love that movie. You know, we were talking about how hard the dance numbers were. There was a number in Chitty Bang Bang, which was far and away the hardest one, and that was me, old bamboo, jumping over those bamboo sticks. Oh, my God, that was hard.
My grandson, who will be 24 in December, and he loved that movie. He almost wore it out, but I think he's still watching it.
Oh, how great.
I hope he's still watching it.
I hope so, too.
Yeah. I got kind of hunger for Mary Poppins now. I'm going to have to get that again, Dick. Yeah, I haven't seen that in a while. Jean from Waukesha. Hi, Jean.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
It's a pleasure.
First, first, I have to thank you for all of the laughs over the years. You really have made my life and my family's life so much better.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. My question today is, I have a son who is going, who's an aspiring actor. He's still in his college years, and he's studying very hard. I'm wondering if you might have any advice for young people who would like to go into the field, and I'll take the answer off the air. Thank you.
Oh, you want it now?
Sure. What's the advice?
Oh, well, I, when kids ask me, I tell them to don't do what I did. I didn't train. I didn't study acting or dancing or singing, never expecting to get into that stuff. So I tell them, train. Take voice, take dancing, and everything you can. And you got to be ready. You really, if you're a triple threat, you have a lot more chance of getting a job. But so many kids are popping into the limelight so quickly and disappearing just as quickly. I think you've got to have some training under your belt, because I made it very hard for myself because I wasn't ready.
Hmm. It is amazing how you were, and maybe because everything was just starting too, television just flourishing,
yes.
And that you were given freedom to develop your talent on the job, really.
Well, that's exactly right. I kind of learned on the job. Live television was a great, great experience, because you just, you know, you didn't have a chance to do it again.
Right. Thanks, Gene, for the call. Kim in Cottage Grove. Hi, Kim.
Hi. I have a question. It's really kind of for my kids. We watch the Dick Van Dyke Show on DVD all the time, and they're 15, 14, and 12, and they'll take the DVDs with them sometimes to friends' house for sleepovers and show all their friends and stuff, too. So, but my question is there a story that you can tell, something that happened on the show that we might not otherwise have heard?
Oh, I can't think of any. Mistakes were made, but not a lot of them. I think I put it in the book. There was one scene where I walk into the office all the way towards the camera, and then I take my hat off and throw it over my head towards the hook on the wall. And, of course, it never worked. Well, the night we shot the show in front of the audience, it went like on a wire right back and hung on that hook. And Maury ruined the take. He said, "Holy Moses, he'd been trying to do that all week."
That's funny. And tell the story where you played. This was way back. You were an announcer on CBS in Danville, and you played a tornado warning by mistake. Oh, my gosh. I can imagine the calls that came in on that one.
Oh, God. It was. You know, they had those great big 16-inch discs with a whole lot of cuts on them.
Sure.
And I just happened to put the wrong one on, and I had run out to rip the news off the teller, you know, while I was running. So the whole thing ran before I could run back in the control room. And I, you know, repeated a correction right away. But all the phones in the place lit up, and a couple of telephone linemen came running in and asked me which direction it was coming from.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. I came near losing my job on that one.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing that would get you fired. You're lucky you held on. Thanks, Kim. Jane in Middleton. Hi.
Hi, I'm just so happy to be able to speak with you, Mr. Van Dyke.
Oh, thank you.
Loved your shows. I must have watched every episode when I was a kid. And my favorite one, or one of my favorite ones, was when you, the four of you, did that song, "I Am a Fine Musician."
Oh, yes.
Yes, I love that. I sing it for my son. And finally, with the age of the Internet, I was able to find it and show him the real, you know, version of it. And it's just one of my favorites, and I'm so glad I have an opportunity to say.
Oh, that's great! You know, I found that when I was doing local television down in Atlanta, and I used to have kids come in and sing it with me. I now have a quartet, three young guys and myself, and we perform at benefits around town, and we still do that song.
Oh well, I'm just going to be delighted to tell my little boy that I spoke to you today. So thank you so much.
You tell him hi.
Okay.
So you're still performing, Dick. That's great.
Oh, you bet.
Good for you. Thank you ever so much for your body of work. It's just so nice to be able to enjoy it. It was never work.
It was always play.
It was never work. Yeah. Thanks, Dick.
You're welcome.
And thanks for the book. The book is My Lucky Life in and Out of Show Business, Dick Van Dyke. The book has just been published, and The foreword is by Carl Reiner. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing the hour, Christy Peace for on-air production, and for doing sound clips as well. And thanks, everybody, for your calls. We'll be with you again tomorrow.
Chim, chim, chim. Good luck, we're above when I shake hands with you. Chim, 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 chim. A sweetness as lucky can be. Chim, 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 chim.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from Lamer's Bus Lines, providing transportation services for business, church groups, weddings, sports teams, civic groups, and schools. Charter and escorted tour information at golamers.com.
Saturday specials on the Ideas Network.
Today, we're in the lower Ninth Ward of New Orleans, one of the poorest parts of the city, hardest hit by the flooding after the storm.
So all things that we combine and turn into salad mixes and sell them to restaurants. Some of them use them as garnishes.
There are no formal math or reading classes here. These kids aren't your average students.
Yeah, I mean, all the kids we work with during the day have been in jail at one point or another.
Saturday specials on the Ideas Network. Find your local station and listen online at WPR.org.